I'm speaking today with Annette Dwyer, who is a candidate for Houston City Council District E. Annette, the first question I start everybody off with is, why are you running for this office?
I think that running for this, you know, district council is just a continuation of things that I've already been doing in the community. The issues that I'm bringing to the table as a council member would be things that I'm already working on in the district. So flooding and drainage are big issues. We're understaffed with police, especially, you know, the south part of our district is very understaffed. So just issues that I've already worked on.
Okay. Now, you were on Councilmember Wiseman's Citizens Advisory Committee. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Addie Wiseman has been, since she's been in office, she put together a Citizen Advisory Committee, and it is made up of people all over the district because our district is so long and spread out. It goes from Clear Lake, and it goes South Belt, Ellington Field, kind of Edgebrook, over to Sagemont, and to Kingwood. So we have representatives from all over the district, people that are already actively involved and in touch with their communities, and she has used us. We've been provided like a sounding board. We have put on different events, like say town hall meeting type events, to make sure that people are expressing things they're concerned about. We worked on specific issues. We really hit the ear of our council member and get a really fast response, because she knows that if we're bringing an issue to her, that it is something important that should be, you know, get that rapid response.
Okay. And your background is with Harris County.
Well, my background is I have a bachelor's degree in journalism and worked for a number of years as a newspaper reporter and editor, and later went to University of Houston Clear Lake and earned my master's of public administration degree. Then I went to work for Harris County.
And tell me a little bit about that.
Well, Harris County, I worked for the Harris County Department of Community and Economic Development. Wore several hats. One of them was as an economic development planner working with our planning group. We administer block grant funds that come from the federal government that go to Harris County. The city also gets a certain amount of block grant funds. So we administered the county's block grant funds. We use those for things like construction projects. Most of the county's community centers, a lot of parks, some flooding projects, drainage. We've done some mud enhancements. At one time we were doing some muds that needed some work done on those. So that money is very flexible. You can use it for different uses, some social projects like youth programs, senior programs. We had some flexibility, but I worked as a project monitor, grants administrator, helped bring a $25 million grant for homeless to the city. It was a joint City of Houston Harris County project that was kind of a multi-agency project that was one grant that we brought in. So I did a number of things when I was with Harris County.
Okay. And how do you see that as help? How do you see that as making better as a? How do you see that as helping you be a council person?
Oh, it has a very practical application. These are things that the city also does. The city gets certain kinds of funding. I have to do. And again, I went into that already having some background doing budgets, contract management. So all that experience, and with learning about that, really applies to a lot of things the city already does.
Now, Councilmember Wiseman has, I guess, kind of a reputation being, more outspoken against Mayor White's agenda than some other council members, perhaps. Do you see yourself as someone who would sort of continue in her footsteps, or do you see yourself as maybe going a different direction?
Well, we do have a very strong mayor form of government, very kind of unusual, especially for cities of our size, but I've already had the opportunity to work with our mayor. In fact, when he was running for his in 2003, we had, especially in Clear Lake, been involved in an issue which was San Jacinto Rail. It was four chemical companies and Burlington Northern Rail Line. They wanted to build a train where no train currently existed. They wanted to build a rail line and bring a 13-mile rail line through, and they were going to ship highly toxic chemicals that would come within 50 feet of neighborhoods. this is something that happened when Mayor Lee Brown was still in office, but Bill White came and spoke to, also on the Association of Clear Lake Communities, which is a regional organization. When he came and spoke with us, we said, this is a big issue. This is something that actually it took 3.5 years to resolve. And at the time, we said, this is something that is vitally important to our neighborhoods and to the whole southeast part of Harris County. And he pledged that as mayor, he would do everything that he could do to make sure that this did not happen. And he did work with us. We got many elected officials on board, all the way from the local school board and neighborhood associations, all the way up to our congressmen, and working together. And we had thousands of people working on this grassroots effort. We were able to bring it to a successful resolution, meaning they did not build that, and that they were able to do some track sharing, which we had suggested, 3.5 years prior, why don't they do some track sharing and bringing those chemicals out of the Bayport, the chemical area, when they wanted to ship it out of that area. So I've already had a chance to work with him and with other council members, past and present. I'm used to working and getting some things done and working in a kind of a consensus and just action, taking action. If there's something that needs to be done, you need to step up and actually just work to get it done and bring all the people together you need on board. So I know a number of council members now, and I look forward to working with, I don't know every single council member's style. Some I have not had a chance to work with on any issues, but I look forward to working with them all.
Okay. What's your assessment of the current state of the city's hurricane preparedness planning?
Oh, well, I think it's better than it was when we all evacuated last time. We did have a hurricane workshop. When we all evacuated, it was September. The next April, we had a hurricane preparedness workshop that the Association of Clear Lake sponsored. And we did have, we had Bill King representing, he's on the governor's board for emergency preparedness. We had Bill Reed with the National Weather Center. We had a number of people, and what we were doing is trying to address that. And he did show us, and I know the city and county have really worked on trying to improve the entire evacuation system. We could actually see things that have changed just between the time we evacuated till the following April, and things that have been recommended about how to evacuate, what not to do. I mean, we definitely need some things not to do. I think we're in better shape. I think we're more aware. I think the thing that would work against us the most is nothing happening for a few years, that there are no hurricanes, and then people will get kind of jaded or they may not evacuate. And in fact, Bill King did say, you might evacuate 4 times before a hurricane actually hits. So don't think, if you evacuate and nothing happens, that nothing is going to happen. And he had lived through some being a Kima native, and he said you don't want to be there when a hurricane happens, and especially in the southeast part, because in Clear Lake, kind of south Houston area, we're definitely in the surge area, and we do need to be very aware of when we need to evacuate or when action to take. So I think we're in a better position than we were. I think there's always room for improvement. I think also that one thing the city is looking at is updating and bringing in new radio systems, because right now you don't have that communication you should between all the policing agencies, and I think that is something we're so behind on that technology. I think that's really vital to have that for any future instance of whether anything that's a disaster, kind of thing like a hurricane.
Okay. You mentioned flooding. The city has $45 million budgeted for drainage improvements in fiscal year 2008. Do you think that's enough, and what do you think the city should be doing to mitigate against flooding and improve drainage that it's not currently doing?
Well, I do think we do not have enough. I don't think we're ever going to get rid of all, just the whole nature of our city. We're never going to eliminate or get rid of flooding, but we definitely know where there's some problem areas and some things that can be addressed. This is something that I've also been working on as a person on a civic association, the Association of Clear Lake Communities, because we do have some specific problems in the southeast part of the district, because everything from Edgebrook south is definitely on a gradual slope. We're also located where two watersheds come together, so we do have that drainage situation. And we had been working with our current council member. several other council members when we can get their ear. Harris County Flood Control and with Ellington Field, that being a large parcel right there at the top of that watershed. And one thing we're looking to do, which we believe would be very cost effective, is put in some regional detention and retention that's going to capture some of that before it comes further downstream. Because at the north end where the two bayou, the two watersheds come together, you've got that water coming in and it just continues throughout the bayous and it's going through all those neighborhoods. I think you could actually do some things that are very cost effective and that affects large areas. And that's what we were looking at and hope to actually have. And we've identified some areas where we can position that if we can get that land. And that would be fairly, like I said, cost effective to put in. So I think that's one way of looking at flooding. It's kind of looking regionally. We know that there's certain streets that have really, flood really bad, even when there's not like a tropical rainstorm. I think we should go in and kind of troubleshoot some of the areas, but we don't have enough for flooding and drainage right now. We don't. And I know that one suggestion is possibly to put a line item in and just actually have a line item where that money is dedicated to flooding and drainage. How much do we need? I know that there's definitely studies that I've seen, and they could show you all the different projects that are suggested to mitigate some of the problems. And it's going to take us years. I think we're very behind on working on that issue.
Okay. Council recently granted historic district designation to the old 6th Ward, which gives them unique powers to regulate development in that neighborhood. What's your opinion of this, and what's your opinion of the statement Mayor White made afterwards that he did not intend for that to be a template to be used by other neighborhoods?
I think that there's definitely room for having areas that are considered historic areas, and I think it benefits more than just that area. There's other cities where you have a historic area, and it really serves as a little economic center because people want to not only live in that area, but they also want to develop some areas around it that kind of complement that neighborhood. So I think we definitely should look at some areas having, have large historic significance if there's enough that we can preserve it. I think that we should look at that as an economic benefit, not just as something that's keeping out maybe a certain kind of development, but that's attracting other development. But I think the way that the city has developed and the general, the idea that there's a lot of people and business people that do not want zoning, I don't think there's any one way that you could say, like, what applies to one area is going to apply to another area. I think that we're going to have to look at each individual area and see what works for that area. I don't know how many historic areas we have left. I think we've pretty much gotten rid of quite a few. But I love historic areas, but I don't know how many are left and what we can do to preserve them. And then downtown, it used to be all, my father-in-law actually grew up here downtown, and it was all houses. It's not houses anymore.
Michael Bromwich, the former U.S. Justice Department Inspector General who investigated the problems with the HPD crime lab, recently testified before a State House committee that a special master should be appointed to determine what role faulty evidence played in hundreds of convictions. Mayor White, Chief Hurt, and DA Chuck Rosenthal have said that they do not believe a special master is needed. What is your opinion?
A special master is needed. I have not thought about that a lot. I've read about that. I'm trying to think, is that going to help us move forward in making sure that this doesn't happen again? Or that all the problems that brought us to that point are not there anymore? So I'm not sure what the purpose is. But at the same time, and perhaps unless we bring in an outside source, we're not going to be able to determine that we are the place we think we are, where we have resolved past problems and we're not going to have that come up again in the future. So I would be open to that. I don't have right now, I'd have to really think through that a little bit more. I would be open to that. I could see the pros and cons. But a special master, maybe, but definitely an evaluation of where we actually are. Do we think that we can't just declare we've resolved all the problems? And it has created problems, some long-term problems and some far-reaching problems for people that possibly were convicted on contaminated evidence. So I'm not sure where we are with that right now. So I'd be open to that, but that's not something I've had a strong opinion on.
Okay. Council is currently working on an ordinance that would require developers to either set aside a certain amount of park space when they build residential units, or to pay a fee that the city would use to purchase more land for park space. What's your opinion of this proposal?
First of all, I do believe that the city of Houston is very behind on park space. And I think even if we look at, say, acres, it's very concentrated in a few areas. It's not spread throughout the city. So I've always thought that the way Houston's developed, it's kind of like we've put in large concentrations of park space in one area but haven't spread it around. I don't know how effective it would be to let people buy their way out of providing, you know, like a parkland for their development. I think you're adding almost like another layer of bureaucracy. I'm wondering if there's something else that should be done. I can see the city, ideally when someone does a major development, they see that as a plus, putting aside, you know, recreational space, at least for their residents. I mean, that is good development. So perhaps I would rather see the land put aside as part of the development than get to that point where you're just asking people to kick in some money and buy their way out of it. I really would like to see that, especially if it's a major development, because otherwise you are just going to, that development is not naturally, you know, may not be served with park land, because the park land that could be purchased might not be anywhere near there. So I think there's probably a way to balance that. I don't know about asking developers to pay for property that has nothing to do with their development, because it doesn't serve those residents. They're going to be underserved with park space in that area.
Okay. Do you think Metro does a good job serving District E, and what would you like to see them do that they're not doing?
Well, I think a lot of people in District E use, like, the park and rides. The park and rides that are located in District E are very crowded. It's hard to find a space in those. And I know that I've seen proposals for expanded and park and rides that are moved. I think park and rides would be a big plus. In District E, there, on the far north and far south, there's definitely bedroom communities where people do work and live in the same community. And in fact, we had recently had a meeting with a representative of Metro, as the Clear Lake communities did. And we did ask, could we get some kind of commuter buses that would actually go within that part of town, so that people, not only you're going back and forth between downtown, and mostly what people are doing, going back and forth between downtown and the buses, that we had something doing like a little circulator route that people could use, especially as there's a medical center area that's being developed where parking is at a premium. And we thought that there was definitely some ways it could go from shopping areas to places where older people might want to take the bus rather than commuting or trying to get in their cars. So I think there might be some room for something within different pockets of communities that would be utilized. So that was one thing we had met with and tried to look at that possibility. So I think that would serve our district.
Okay. The city of Houston is supposed to redraw district council lines when the population exceeds 2.1 million. There's evidence to suggest that the city has already reached that threshold. But Mayor White has said that he wants to wait until after the 2010 census.
Right.
What's your opinion of that, and what process would you like to see the city use in order to redraw the council lines?
I think, we know we're going to be at the point that we're going to have to add at least two new council seats. I doubt that we would not, unless there was some reason for a mass exodus, a lot of people moved. But I think people anticipate that if we add two more council seats, that the Kingwood Clear Lake district of EE would be split. And I do not know. I've been also told that that's not a given. You would think so, because they are, you know, there's 40 or 50 miles or more where you're traveling just to get from one to the other. And I don't know how they're going to redraw the district that it's going to do that. It's kind of hard looking at the map because of the what, you know, they linked Clear Lake and Kingwood in the first place. I don't know if they're going to be able to kind of take that part of District E and connect it to another district that's close by, because we know that any plan that we come up with as the City of Houston is going to have to be approved by the Department of Justice. And so I think the same considerations that were taken in drawing District E after Kingwood was annexed are still going to be issues that that still exist. I have not looked to see what other growth is maybe to the west. I don't think there has been a major growth there. So I we're just going to have to follow whatever, you know, the same process, and we're going to have to make sure that the lines are drawn so that they will be approved by the Department of Justice. And not being in there and being involved in that process previously, I couldn't tell you how we do it any differently.
Right. City Council recently voted to sell a one-block stretch of Bolsover Street and Rice Village to a developer who was going to use it as a pedestrian plaza as part of a mixed-use development. The Chronicle wrote an editorial that they didn't think such a thing was good public policy. What's your opinion of the idea of selling public streets to developers in a situation like that?
Well, I think that Houston has, over the years, I mean, we definitely have all been on a street where all of a sudden it stops and there's a large apartment complex, but, you know, interestingly, if you go around the block, the street starts up again. It's nothing new. I think it's, to me, as a person that's been trying to commute around Houston for years, it's kind of frustrating because, you know, how that happens. The Rice Village perhaps is unique, and I have no, I know the exact block, and I don't have a real feel for if there, you know, if that should have been done or not. Perhaps it's unique if you wanted to kind of get that whole, you know, maybe transform that whole neighborhood and do a little bit more pedestrian if that was part of a larger plan. But doing little piecemeal, like selling this developer something over here, but that doesn't necessarily tie into any, you know, plan that the maybe Rice Village itself has put out, you know, that we want to create like a pedestrian mall area. I think I might be a little reluctant to do that. I thought that we weren't doing that anymore, but I think that I'd be kind of reluctant to practice that on a you know, on a regular basis.
Okay. All right. Earthlink has recently agreed to pay a $5 million penalty to the city for failing to meet deadlines in its contracted construction of a citywide Wi-Fi network. Do you think it was a good idea? Do you think the contract that the city originally signed with the Earthlink was a good one? And do you think the city should continue to pursue the idea of a citywide Wi-Fi network in the event Earthlink is unable to do it?
Well, it sounds like it was maybe good for the city, but not for Earthlink, with the $5 million plan. I know there was a window of opportunity the city was trying to take advantage of to get that Wi-Fi network up, but I don't believe that, and we're, I mean, what are we, the, you know, the fourth largest city, I don't believe that there's any major city that we can point to that has an ongoing, extremely successful Wi-Fi network. And why we want, you know, I mean, I think it's great to want to be out in front regarding technology, but I don't know, there are alternatives to having this Wi-Fi network. I mean, and I don't know how much more effort or time the city should spend on that.
Okay. What's your opinion of the city's red light camera program?
Red light cameras. Well, we have the red light cameras. If it was up to me, I probably wouldn't have, you know, voted to put the red light cameras up, because my preference would really be, if we truly are wanting to make the intersection safer, we should be, I want to say, engineering the lights. We should be looking at the length of the yellow lights, because it is proven that if you extend the length of a yellow light, even for fractions of a second, you reduce the number of accidents at a given intersection, and that is a fact. So if we already have the red light cameras up, and we do, I think at the same time, we should be going in and looking at how the lights are timed and the yellow lights. It makes a big difference to make sure that that is set up properly. If the red light cameras are effective, as they are right now, then we should see the number of red light runners going down. I'm not sure that they are going down. I think we're just getting a picture of people running through the red lights. And one of my main concerns, or my main objections to that, is when you run a red light and it is caught on camera, it's kind of the equivalent of a parking ticket. You have a civil fine that you pay, but running a red light is extremely dangerous. And I think we're sending a mixed message that you run it and we may catch you and you have a fine of $75. But really, if you're caught by a police officer running a red light, that is a major offense, and the fines are much greater. And it's the equivalent of a parking ticket. So I think we need to, if we're really concerned about safety and not revenue enhancement, we're going to make sure that each of those intersections that we've designated as being so dangerous that we have to put red lights there are as safe as they can be. I don't believe that's been done.
Okay. Annette Dwyer, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Very much. I enjoyed it.
Good luck in your election.
Well, thank you. I'm working hard.